Thanks for joining us on this Mission Network News Special Report. I'm Greg Yoder.
And I'm Ruth Kramer. The Islamic season of Ramadan, an annual period of fasting and reflection for Muslims, is wrapping up. Around the world, millions of Muslims are fasting, praying, reading the Quran, and striving for purity in thought and deed.
At the same time, the religious frenzy that gets whipped up often lends to persecution, especially for Christians. Looking at the Middle East and North Africa as the hub of Muslim culture, there's reason for concern. Tom Doyle is the Middle East expert with E3 Partners.
This could be a chain effect going through Northern Africa. When you look at Libya, instability there, and other countries where there is smaller Christian underground churches, they may be looked for. And we don't know, but we just want to pray for Egypt, all of North Africa too, because as Egypt goes, usually goes North Africa. Admittedly, there's many more Christians. There are more Christians in Egypt than any other Middle East country, but yet the shockwaves go out from Egypt.
20 years ago, the world had about 1.1 billion Muslims. When you consider that Islam is thought to be the fastest growing religion in the world, it's clear that many people are embracing it. The fact is, Islam is outpacing most other faiths throughout Europe, too. And that's brought out a unique challenge for Christians, as well as an exciting development.
Russian Ministries is a newly published New Testament that's part of the latest drive to provide God's word to people from a Muslim background in the former Soviet Union.
Why there?
Well, of all the cities of Europe, Moscow is home to most Muslims. Post-Soviet republics are becoming known for ties to terrorist groups and activities. When reports of radical Islam grab widespread media attention, most people conclude that Christianity isn't making headway in appealing to Islamic people groups. But that's just not true. Russian Ministries just released the Message of Glory New Testament. My friend Sergei Rakuba explains a little more.
The new translation of this New Testament, the Message of Glory, designed specifically for the areas where predominantly Muslim people live in the Russian Federation. And as part of Russian Ministry's strategic vision, we are working to provide tools into the hands of national next generation, we call it evangelists, missionaries, pastors, churches, that can use this tool in order to reach out to these communities with the gospel. So this Message of Glory New Testament, using the contemporary Russian translation graciously provided by Biblica, and we add a dozen of testimonies of young believers that recently came to know Christ from Muslim background. So basically, we're offering people, you know, somebody else's experience, what they discover in relationship with Christ, accepting him into their hearts, you know, what life changes experiences, you know, they can share with others. And so this Message of Glory is becoming a very powerful, very practical tool that not just helping these new believers to maintain their walk with Christ, but to grow, but at the same time, for many churches that work in this predominantly Muslim communities as a tool for outreach when they reach out to these communities with the gospel.
So, Greg, what kind of reaction have they seen since the release of the Message of Glory?
Well, it's been wholeheartedly embraced. What makes it different are the stories of change. There are personal moments shared by young people, and those stories create a common ground for hope.
When they learn about transforming power of God in their lives, is bringing a very powerful impact on those communities. Again, you know, when we got this idea, we thought, you know, we may kind of use this as an experiment, but already is proving, you know, so that 10,000 copies were just like a drop in the bucket, you know, for those areas where we work in Northern Caucasus, you know, where predominantly Muslim areas are, you know, those republics of Chechnya, Ingushetia, Dagestan, Kabardino-Balkaria, that are traditionally live under the impact of Islam.
The Message of Glory New Testament in the Russian language is designed to serve those from a Muslim background. It's aimed at the same group of people extremists want to radicalize and train.
We believe that reaching out to back to Muslims, to this Muslim communities, before they get a gun into their hands, you know, we're reaching to young people, offering them the peacemaking tool, you know, so that when they read the gospel, we believe that their lives can be transformed and they will learn about true peace in God. So, but before we do this, we want to train and offer training seminars. We're offering them orientation on how to reach out to Muslim community. And this is not a threatening way, you know, but basically reaching them, you know, with the gospel. And this message of glory is becoming a very powerful, very practical tool when they read those testimonies whose life got transformed. And then, you know, they start walking in their faith, you know, and so we train national pastors how to encourage their churches to embrace these people into their congregations and nurture them in their faith.
That's one way to take action, provide access to God's Word. Another way is through prayer.
God is calling people out of Islam, you know, to repentance and faith in Christ. And I really want to encourage, you know, to continue supporting Russian ministries in this effort, providing training, providing tools, you know, equipping national believers to continue reaching to their Muslim friends, you know, Muslim neighbors, you know, with the message of glory, with the message of the gospel. And this is our vision. This is our dream, you know, to see it so that many Muslim friends of our believers in Russia will accept Christ and will endure all the possible persecution that might be arising, you know, against them from their families, from their communities. But they, you know, because of the transforming power of the gospel, because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, you know, they will grow in Christ as their personal Savior.
This is a Mission Network News special report.
I'm Ruth Kramer.
And I'm Greg Yoder. You often hear about marginalized people groups in many areas of the world where militant Islam has influence. Let's shift our focus to a group that seems more undermined than others, the women.
The United Nations reports that in some Middle Eastern countries, the gap between the literate males and females is as high as 90%. That makes storytelling in film the path for outreach to women in these areas. Sean Bandy is a special projects coordinator for the Jesus Film Project. In this interview, I started by asking Sean why the ministry created this special series called Rivka.
The main target is, of course, women, Muslim women, but women everywhere who don't know who Jesus Christ is. A lot of these women do not read and write even their own language. So it's a visual tool that you can help reach them in a way that they understand in their heart language. Because they don't have to read and write, they don't have to learn another language to, you know, there's no subtitles, that kind of thing. So it speaks directly to their heart in their heart language.
You say it's a discipleship tool. How does this work? Like, you know, is it a series of films? Is it a single film?
It starts out as a series of films. There are about 12 episodes, I believe, about 20 minutes long, and dealing with different aspects of the Christian faith, assurance of salvation, that kind of thing. Jesus Films also created a feature film out of that as well. You can use it as a Bible study. There is some printed material for those who can read and write to help them continue to grow in their faith once they view the different parts of the series. Answering those questions that people are asking, now what do I do? I've come to Christ. He has saved me, brought me to faith. What do I do now? And that's what Rivka hopes to answer for some of those tough questions.
So you say these are stories of women in the Bible who are interacting with Jesus. How does that work? I mean, you know, if you're talking about, say, questions of what now, how does that fit in with some of the things you were describing?
The Magdalena is the one that has most of the stories through Mary Magdalena's eyes of Christ interacting. Rivka is a woman who is featured in Magdalena, who comes to Christ through Magdalena. And so this Rivka series takes place about 30 or so years later, and Rivka is the main character. She's discipling other women in her village. They're dealing with Roman occupation, family issues, that kind of thing, the male-dominant role. How does Rivka continue to show the love of Christ to her family, the people that are hurting her? How does she show that Christ indeed is the one true way? And that's what Rivka is attempting to do.
You mentioned that this is being used as a discipleship tool in a lot of countries. Some of the things that you'd mentioned was that it really does help to target women from the Muslim background. Why is that such a need?
My understanding is that in that society, a lot of times the women are not allowed to learn to read and write. And so how do we show them who Christ is in a way that's understandable for them, in a way that's pertinent to them? And the best way that we found is through a visual tool like film. So that's what the Jesus Film is all about, is bringing visual tools to somebody in their heart language in a way that they can understand, to show them immediately who Christ is. And that's what we're attempting to do with Rivka as well.
Now, as a discipleship series, can this actually take the place for grounding in faith in places where women can't go to meet with a church body?
Yes, absolutely. It's an interesting tool. Even though it's a discipleship tool, what we are finding is that people who see things like Rivka and some of the other products that we've designed as discipleship tools have become evangelistic in nature. So some women who have never heard of Christ can sit down and watch something like this and come to Christ through this. So we are discovering that even though it was designed to become a discipleship tool, it is actually evangelizing people and helping them come to Christ.
With all the Muslims responding now to Christ throughout Ramadan, is it any wonder there's pushback?
There's been unrest all throughout the Muslim nations involved with the Arab Spring. There's been trouble in Asia and throughout Europe. Tom Doyle with E3 Partners says that's no coincidence.
Isn't it interesting, Ruth, how many times have we had these interviews when something bad is happening in the Middle East and it's right in the middle of Ramadan? So here we are. Spiritually, it's heated up in the heavenlies with all that's going on politically. We know that there's just spiritual warfare going on. And here in the midst of the holiest month of Islam is when this conflict is happening. So we have put together a Facebook 838, 8, and the spelled out 38, to just each day give believers an opportunity to pray for, first, believers in dangerous countries like Egypt, like Libya, like Tunisia, Yemen, and some of those places. So we're praying for believers that they'd be protected. And then secondly, we're praying for Muslims to come to faith in Christ. And about 75% of the Muslims that we've interviewed that are now following Jesus say that something significant happened to them in their journey to Christ during Ramadan. Many of them, it's during that night of power which comes in, or the night of destiny, that last week of Ramadan. They have a certain night that they're just crying out to God, asking him to move in their life, reveal yourself to me. And many former Muslims are saying, that night I had a dream about Jesus, I had a vision. So we're calling believers to pray for believers in those Islamic countries where it's difficult to exist if you're not a Muslim, especially if you're a believer, and especially a Muslim background believer. And then we're also asking them to pray for Muslims to have an opportunity to respond to Jesus' message of love and forgiveness during this time. We're just calling all believers to pray during this very important time.
Ramadan's closing out this week, including a night of destiny. It's a time when Muslims are listening for truth and seeking God's face. What will they find? Well, according to a Pew study released in 2011, 20 years from now, the Muslim world population will have doubled from what it was in 1993. That means Muslims will represent a quarter of the world's population.
We offered a tool for Ramadan this year, 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world. It's never too late to begin praying. Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." There are 9 rooms in the House of Islam, and a wind is blowing through every one of them. As followers of Christ, we've been challenged to meet this growth with a double portion of faith and love.
Muslims are waiting. Are you ready for them? If you want more details on any of the resources mentioned in today's special, just ask. You can also get a copy of the 30 Days of Prayer for the Muslim World Prayer Guide when you support Mission Network News. We depend on people just like you to help us be a voice for the voiceless, Christians who are sharing Christ no matter what the cost. Support MNN today and we'll send you a copy of the prayer guide. Just go to our website, missionnetworknews.org. That's missionnetworknews.org. Mission Network News is a service of Cornerstone University of Grand Rapids, Michigan. On behalf of the Mission Network News team, I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm Greg Yoder.
And I'm Ruth Kramer. Thanks for listening.